Cody Pomplin is an associate editor at the Brookings Institution's National Security Law and Policy website, Lawfare. He, too, paid close attention to the president's address on Gitmo, especially this statement.
It's counterproductive to our fight against terrorists because they use it as propaganda in their efforts to recruit.
That's a long-held claim asserted again at a congressional hearing last year. Pomplin wondered, is it true? How much does Guantanamo figure into jihadist propaganda and recruitment materials? And so he investigated.
We started by looking at some well-known terrorist media, ISIS's Dabiq magazine, Al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula's Inspire. We also looked at transcripts from execution videos released by ISIS. Overall, I reviewed hundreds of documents and thousands of pages looking for mentions of Guantanamo and noting each time how it was used and the way that it was invoked.
That is certainly not the entirety of, nor necessarily even representative of, the entire universe of jihadist media. There are message boards, informal social media networks, and so on that probably contain the lion's share of this kind of rhetoric.
Right. Social media accounts, Twitter, Telegram, do make up a large portion of recruitment efforts as well as jihadist online forums. And we weren't able to approach those in a systematic fashion. You know, it's possible that Guantanamo may play a more profound role in those media. But I think one of the things that we really thought about was that what should be animating recruitment and what should be pushing people to join are the statements of leaders. And to back that up, you know, ISIS's kind of chief spokesman, Abu al-Adnani, once said, if someone wants to get to know the program of the Islamic State, its politics, and its legal opinions, they ought to consult its leaders, their statements, public addresses, and sources.
So as you do look into the totality of terrorist media, what did you find? Is this stuff just thick with Guantanamo references or not?
What we found is that it's complicated. Al-Qaeda, including leaders like bin Laden and Zawahiri, have talked about Guantanamo Bay as long as it's been open. They use it to discredit U.S. policy and portray the U.S.'s involvement as part of a larger, unprovoked war against Muslims. For example, in a 2003 letter, Osama bin Laden called on Allah to, quote, free our brothers who the tyrants have jailed in America, Guantanamo, occupied Palestine, and Riyadh. ISIS does mention Guantanamo, but in over 700 pages of propaganda material, they only mentioned it four times. So it does come up, but it's never a major theme. It doesn't really animate recruitment, and the salience seems to have waned over time. When you start to look at the relative value of the facility contrasted to kind of the other major themes, it really pales in comparison.
Compared to, for example, Zionism or Crusade.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. 387 mentions in those 700 pages of the word Crusade, calling the United States and its Arab allies the new Crusaders, the creation of Israel, the subsequent invasion of Iraq and Afghanistan as part of a broader assault on Muslims and the land of Islam. And those attacks have to be met with violent jihad. All of that comes up way more often. Guantanamo at times provides a supporting argument to justify the stance that America is a part of this crusade. And it certainly serves as a counterpoint to U.S. claims of benevolence and supporting justice and human rights. But the point which Joe Biden has made before, where he called Guantanamo the, quote, greatest propaganda tool that exists for recruiting terrorists around the world, is almost false on its face. The narrative of jihadist propaganda operates at a far higher level than a single facility in the Caribbean.
As you sifted through all of this material, you know, apart from the invocation of Guantanamo, was there any kind of other Easter egg that you discovered that simply had not dawned on you before to be a big issue?
I think what's interesting is just how many ways there are to criticize the United States. And what I mean by that is that various jihadist platforms, you know, have certainly criticized the United States for Guantanamo, the invasion of Iraq and Afghanistan, drawings of the Prophet Muhammad and drone strikes, things you might expect. But also, you know, Osama bin Laden wrote, I think, a 10-page article criticizing the United States' approach to climate change and calling on the United States to be a global leader in this regard basically saying that its refusal to engage seriously on the issue is a type of neo-imperialism in support of its capitalist traditions, et cetera. It can almost be a spaghetti on the wall type approach, right? Throw as many things as you can, as many criticisms as you can, and see what sticks. And the more you put out there, the more you're able to discredit and damage what Al-Qaeda has called the, quote, media halo surrounding the United States, then the more likely you are to peel people away from supporting them and perhaps support your own movement. I have a quote here, actually, from Ayman al-Zawahiri, which I think really shows Guantanamo is just one of a litany of criticisms against the United States. In this quote, he criticizes the United States for its major corporations, deceitful media, spreading obscenity, gambling, alcohol, family breakups, using women as merchandise to gain customers, Guantanamo, Abu Ghraib, carpet bombings, cluster bombs, Afghanistan, Iraq, Halliburton.
Anything in there about the designated hitter rule?
No, not quite.
Now, you dug into these publicly available magazines and websites and so forth. The United States government has the entire Central Intelligence Agency at its beck and call. It's hard for me to imagine that these statistics were inaccessible to them. Are the president and the vice president lying?
I would certainly not say the president and the vice president are lying. They may be interpreting the data differently, and that may be because they have a preferred outcome to this discussion. You can look at this and say, well, jihadists do mention Guantanamo Bay, and if even one person has been drawn to that ideology because of it, then that's one too many. That's a different argument than the argument that it is the greatest recruiting tool of Al-Qaeda or the Islamic State, and that that is principally what is pushing people to violent extremism. Jihadists are also going to criticize almost every policy the United States engages in that counters their own interests. So no, I don't think that they're lying. I think that there's just perhaps a disagreement about the relative importance of the findings.
So in the unlikely event that Congress takes the president up on his request and furnishes the funds for the closing of Guantanamo in Cuba and the moving of virtual Guantanamo to the mainland, do you think that's going to have any influence on jihadist recruitment?
I think the influence would be marginal. And primarily that's because I think that its impact right now is marginal, so closing it won't change very much. And if the president's policy is really just to relocate the facility with the exact same policies, it's really not clear why, under the administration's logic, the facility would no longer factor into jihadist recruitment. I mean, even Secretary of Defense Ash Carter has called it, quote-unquote, Gitmo North. I don't see that jihadists are going to look at that and say, oh, well, now that's taken care of. I guess we can't talk about that anymore.
Cody, thank you very much.
Thank you so much for having me on. This was a pleasure.
Cody Poplin is a research assistant at the Brookings Institution and an associate editor of the Brookings website, Lawfare. Coming up, the vigilante life on both sides of the Mexican border. This is On the Media.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.